Let's call this to order. Admin meeting, Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. I have myself, Alderman Milczewski. We have Alderman Teeling, Alderman Treaters, and Alderman Tuulisa Sick. So, citizens' comments? Nothing. Minutes for correction and or approval, November 18th, 2015. Comments, questions, corrections? We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. New business. Admin 2016-1 monthly budget report for November and December 2015. Rob's clicking away there. Anything we need to know on our budget?
Oh, sorry.
Bart left. I'm going to turn it over to you.
I know. I mean, things are moving right along. We're 67% done with the fiscal year. I don't have anything particular to mention. Unless someone has a question.
Comments, questions on this? We're good?
I have one.
Oh, you have one?
Two. Okay. Page 17 for me. It's probably 15 for you. It's page 3 of the November ending. Codification, $9,115, 182.30% of the budget. What the hell did we codify? In August.
I know that one.
Do you?
I know that from being clerk. You have to codify all your ordinances.
Okay. So it's once a year?
Well, no.
They do it periodically.
Apparently, we had quite the backlog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some more.
And, like, I know this doesn't really matter in the long run, but are your fees on codification based on the number of ordinances or based on the size?
The size.
Is it the size of the ordinance or is it the motion in the ocean?
Yeah. Pay both by the number of ordinances, like a flat fee, and then if it's beyond a certain page amount, then there's a per page fee.
And that's to the county?
No, this is to
Sterling County.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a private company that then goes through and basically figures out where our ordinance should be amended. They send out paper copies, they update the website too.
Okay. Nice people too.
Yeah, I love
they used to be out.
They still are.
Page 5 of that same document. Under police, contractual services, training, and conferences, they've only spent 13% of their budget for training. Can you kick them out? Get them trained?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then also they have signed one and then maybe another bachelor's degree program.
Oh, sweet.
So that'll cause it to go up too.
I know they mentioned the whole MTU thing, so I know that's going forward.
Yes.
So that's... Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure they're spending money on training because
yes.
That's how we avoid other issues that other police departments and other municipalities are also experiencing.
Yes.
That's all I had.
Okay. Anything else? All right. We're good. So let's go on to 2 Admin 2016-02 Monthly Treasurer's Report for November and December 2015.
Okay, monthly Treasurer's Report for the month ending November 30th, 2015. Projected beginning fund balance of $14,258,052. Year-to-date revenues of $22,939,944. Year-to-date expenses of $16,436,245. For projected ending fund balance of $20,761,751. Monthly Treasurer's Report for the month ending December 31st, 2015. Projected beginning fund balance of $14,258,052. Year-to-date revenues of $25,880,538. Year-to-date expenses of $21,485,767. Projected ending fund balance of $18,652,822. Yeah, I didn't print that one out. So.
Comments, questions? Okay, moving on. Number 3, Admin 2016-03, cash statement for October and November 2015.
This is just our monthly cash position, presented informationally as always.
Comments?
First page cash, second page is our investment summary.
Comments or questions? We're good on that one. Okay. Admin 2016-04, bills for payment. Any comments or questions on that? Okay, we're good on that one. 5, Admin 2016-05, monthly website report for November and December 2015.
There weren't too many changes as normal. We're starting to kind of see patterns with the website. I guess the couple things I would point out, just an overall decrease in the amount of people looking at the website, but I think it's explainable with the time of the season. And then people now looking at the website more in the middle of the week. And one of the top pages being the Senior Independent Living Project page that gives info on that. So people are definitely interested in what's going on with that, as we all know. Any questions?
I just have one. What's the name of the service that creates the report?
PIWIC.
PIWIC.
Every time. Every time.
Here, we should put this.
It's a controversy.
We should put this picture on our parks website or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's from, she was skating at the skating rink today.
Oh, yeah, send it.
I will. Who should I send it to?
Yeah.
It's really cute.
I just had a, kind of tie this in. I had a parent come up to me there in Scouts, and they went onto the website, and they were looking at our last meeting to listen to the audio.
Yep.
It's looping. So I listen to it at work, and it just keeps going over and over us, the first gentleman, the little scout. Yeah. You hear the clapping? So I don't know why it's doing that, but one of the boys was trying to, is going for like a citizen's badge, and he wanted him to listen to it, and he brought it to my attention.
Talk to Diane.
Yeah. He also asked, too, and I don't know if this goes with the website, do we have any of these on YouTube? He thought we had some on YouTube.
There is, and there isn't currently a way to link to that on that website.
Okay.
The Cable Consortium has actually been updating all of the videos. They haven't done it in a couple months, so they are catching up on a backlog.
Okay. Yeah. So he just wanted to throw that out there for the Boy Scout group. Anything else? All right. All good. Number 6, Admin 2016-06, Ordinance Regarding Insurance Requirements for Tattoo and Body Piercing Establishments.
Okay, so this is just a little bit of a follow-up from our comprehensive rewrite, which will drive up our codification costs in a couple months. Our insurance broker had actually read through the insurance requirements for the ordinance and had suggested that they be $1 million. He said that that's pretty reasonable and is in line with what other municipalities do, and so we concurred with that, and so that's our recommendation.
Questions? We're good? Okay. Just put that in consent agenda?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 7, Admin 2016-07, Resolution Authorizing the Closing of the City's Illinois Funds ePay Accounts.
On February the 16th, Illinois Funds ePay is actually going to be, still going to be run through the Illinois Funds, but it's going to be oversawed by a bank called Illinois National Bank, and they're going to start charging us fees. Albeit the fees aren't that expensive. It's $10 a month plus a 10 cents per transaction cost. But as you recall, we do have MyGovHub in place, had it in place for a year now. It's a completely automated system, whereas ePay is a manual system. After somebody pays an ePay, an email gets sent out to utility billing clerk. Judy has to run that up front to the cashiers, and they have to, it's a manual process on our end. So now it's actually going to cost us money. I figure we might as well go ahead and do away with it now that we have MyGovHub in place. So that's what these two resolutions would do.
Yes.
Is there going to be a notice in the next utility bill that says it's canceled, or?
Yes. And actually, what we've been doing is we've been telling people who have been paying ePay since we have their email address, just letting them know about MyGovHub. We've attached that MyGovHub letter, and then once we get approval, we'll also be sending that email out to them again, just letting them know that it will be canceled as of 1/31/16.
Okay.
And it really won't be canceled probably till maybe the 5 days into February. So if people still want to make payments through ePay and pay. You know, that cost, whereas MyGovHub is free. I mean, they can certainly certainly do so, but.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, we're good. We can put that on consent agenda, too. Are you okay with that? All right, 8, Admin 2016-08, Special Tax Refunding Bond, Series 2016.
Rob, go ahead.
Oh, okay. William Blair and Company late last year presented us with a refunding opportunity for two of our SSA bonds, Autumn Creek and Bristol Bay. Would provide us with substantial savings in excess of about $5.8 million. Autumn Creek. On average, nominal yearly savings for the homeowners in the SSA projects are as follows. Autumn Creek, $225 a year for single-family homes and $190 for townhomes. Bristol Bay, $240 for a single-family home, $195 for townhomes, and $165 for condominiums. So the bond ordinance, parameters ordinance, which was attached, will be presented for your review and consideration at the upcoming council meeting here on the 26th. We just kind of want to give you the heads up and let you know what's coming down the pipe. Pricing of the bond should take place, assuming the parameters ordinance gets passed on February the 10th. And then we should close right around the 20th, 21st of the month. So,
I just have one quick question. An annual coupon rate of 6%, an annual coupon rate of 5.875%. What the hell is a coupon rate?
Just a stated rate of the bond. So if you buy a coupon rate of 6%, that's your rate of return.
Okay. So it's not a simple word like coupon.
Well, it used to be, I guess, back in the day, you'd actually tear off a coupon, mail that in so you can get your interest payment.
Got it.
And then you just kind of kept the term. So, yeah.
Any other questions?
The other question I had is, all right, so we're saving $5.8 million. Now, I learned after college that when you are paying off your student loan debt, is that once you pay off the smallest one, you should continue to act like you're still paying off the first one, but you stack the debt. You put that onto something else. The $5.8 million that we're saving, could we spend it on something else?
All this is going to do is save the residents money.
Right.
So since
yeah,
their SSA
their
bond, it's simply just going to go
nice
into their pockets. So.
Yeah. No, if they want to stack it, they probably could.
Yep.
I don't think they want
to
do that.
I have a couple holes to fill with some stacks, so I'm just trying to find legal, fiscally responsible, and logical ways to do it.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, the
overarching
are paying it.
The overarching conversation with these always is now the best time to do it, because you can only refinance once every like 6 or 7 years. Generally, that's what the bond terms are. And so you want to make sure that you're not maybe doing it too early if you think interest rates are going to go down, or that you think that, you know, the state of the subdivision is going to deteriorate. And here both subdivisions have been very solid, and we would actually think that interest rates would go up. So our underwriter basically had saw this and said, now is probably a favorable time for you to do this, and that's why it's in front of you.
Well, they should be happy.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
They're super happy.
Absolutely.
Yep. Good. Okay. So do we have to move this on? You said it'll be... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a public hearing?
It's going to be... Well, it's just the parameters ordinance is going to be presented at the this January 26th meeting. So this is more just kind of heads up to let you know it's coming.
Okay. So we go on to old business. Admin 2014-89, our wonderful Aurora Area Convention and Visitor Bureau Agreement.
I have information.
You told me.
Okay. So I'll start and Chris will bat clean up here. And you're going to talk about Oswego probably?
Possibly. How much you guys take.
Okay. So as part of the shared services meeting with Oswego and Montgomery last week, this was one of the topics of conversation. And while Montgomery doesn't pay anything into the AACVB as far as hotel taxes, they're still interested in kind of looking at something that might be progressive and then, you know, and that would join the three communities together. So Oswego's revenue... or estimated annual revenue is about the same as ours, about $65,000. So they would be a significant fish in the organization. The only issue is that I guess the meeting didn't go very well with Oswego and the AACVB. And then additionally, they thought that they would be able to secure a 35% hotel tax rate into the AACVB. We pay 90%. So my advice to my counterpart in Oswego was, you may do that, but what's going to happen is that we're going to be the one of the single largest paying entities at that point, percentage-wise and dollar amount-wise. And my guess is that we would either just leave or we would say we want the same terms. So at that point, if they're in for $35,000 or $20,000 or whatever it is, and we cut our funding or leave, you know, all you've done then is swap out Oswego for Yorkville, and you actually have less funding in the organization. Mm-hmm. So not a good long-term strategic advantage if you're going to, you know, be jumping into the organization to immediately maybe anger somebody and cause them to jump out. So that was my recommendation, to be mindful of that as they're negotiating with it. But the fact that it didn't go that well, you know, we have to do some convincing on our end, both to either get them to join at a reasonable dollar amount or to then join with us. And they are interested in going our separate ways. So I'm still preparing the analysis on the AACVB as kind of our plan B as to what we could actually afford. So I did forward some emails or questions over to Court actually last week, and he finally did respond to them yesterday. So I'm just going to go through these here real quick. You know, the idea is that if we, let's say we join with Oswego and we say maybe it's not 90% that we're giving in hotel taxes, maybe it's 50%. So, you know, that's $30,000 or $40,000 from each entity, and that's, you know, $70,000 or $80,000 budget. You know, what can you get out of that? So in the exhibits that are in the packet and that Court had passed out at the EDC meeting a couple weeks ago, you know, he's got the catalog costs. You've got, like, space costs when you actually have, like, a catalog rack, you know, depending on if you're in, like, an oasis or a rest area type place. You have to pay, basically, to have frontage. You've got all these other costs, shipping, handling, production. You know, how many catalogs could we do? Would we be in the same locations? And what would the group sales be? So since the catalog costs are kind of cut and dried, I've been looking at it from a group sales perspective. You know, to me, it's probably most effective for somebody to be trying to either land conferences or large family reunions, you know, actual hotel room leads that the hotels can then bid on, hopefully secure, and then that drives up our annual revenue then too. So, and that's been the way that he's actually started to run the AACVB. So I had asked him for a whole bunch of old information and kind of what he's seen new. They weren't so good at tracking everything up until a few months ago, so we don't really have annual information about how many hotel night leads they had and, you know, what the success rate is, but he did forward over the following. So they have a full-time group sales manager. Okay, so that guy is 2,080 hours a year just trying to drum up and follow up on group sales. So that's $52,000 a year. So between the two communities, you could hire somebody maybe that was a low-level group sales type person, but then you wouldn't have any of the high-level support, which they do. They've got, you know, marketing and conference expenses, and then they've also got a director who probably knows a little bit more about tourism than the group sales manager does too. So, and he did say that some of the director's salary is actually grant eligible in that he is doing some sales leads, calls, and then operations. So, you know, we would lose out on that unless we had somebody here that could really dive into figuring out how to run a tourism bureau and then help the group sales manager along.
Do we have that person?
No, we would have to hire somebody
new.
Right,
so that would be another expense.
Yep. But for $52,000 a year, I mean, theoretically, if you were to just, you know, if you take our YBSD conversation and say, we're just going to adopt basically your model because we think you know what you're doing generally, you know, for $52,000, we could be the one controlling that person. They would only have access to the Yorkville hotels and maybe a smaller pot of group sales leads, but, you know, you could still do it. So they did say that between July 2015 and December, so that's just less than half a year, they have generated group sales leads. So again, these aren't secured hotel rooms, but just like, you know, hey, we've got a family reunion coming in with 20 rooms. Everybody's going to basically auction this, and then whoever gets the lowest price, you know, the family reunion is probably going to take it. So they've generated potentially 2,600 room nights, and they're then throwing out the number that that's an estimated economic impact of $1.4 million, which is, I think, more of a fluff tourism number than a hard number like our hotel taxes are. But they have also, within that five-month period, also secured two sporting events that they're estimating is going to generate an actual 1,000 room nights for the Aurora area. So again, that would be split between all 13 or so hotels, and that it would bring up to about 7,000 attendees. So, you know, what I would consider reasonable is that when you bring somebody into the area, especially if they're going to be in your town, I think the rule of thumb is that they're going to spend about $100 per person per day on gas or food or something. So, you know, that is a potentially a pretty large impact, but it's less so and less direct than just the increase in hotel taxes, obviously. So they are tracking the sales leads and if they actually result in hotel stays, so they will have that for us in the next few months. And then they've also been tracking website referrals. So they paid $4,500 basically into their online booking system. And all it really is like a pass-through. Somebody types in the date, what kind of rooms they're looking at, the number of people, and then it kind of redirects to the different hotels' websites, depending on what you're looking for. And that is, that's generated about 362 hotel referrals. So they haven't quite, you know, got that down again to how many secured rooms that is, but that is potentially another couple hundred rooms that if we were to divvy up the service area, you know, maybe we would have a hard time competing against Aurora if we just went with us, so we go to Montgomery. And then just so everybody's aware of the annual estimates, I said Oswego is at about $65,000 if they were to do 90%. Aurora is capped out at $175,000. If I remember correctly, their 90% would equal like $500,000 or $600,000. So they basically cut that in a third, so they're at about 33% to 35%. So then there's us at $65,000. North Aurora generates $25,000. Sandwich generates $19,000. Plano generates $600. Big Rock generates $74. So outside of North Aurora and a sandwich, even when you add those two together, there's still, you know, like half to two-thirds of what we're generating alone. So landing somebody like Oswego, especially at a higher dollar amount, would be a pretty big boost revenue-wise for the organization. It's just a matter of, in my mind, the three organizations in the room that really should have a stake in what's going on are Aurora, Oswego, and Yorkville, if you do that. You know, yes, you want North Aurora and Sandwich to have some say, and yes, you want the other communities to have some say because there's, you know, the LTCB grant, you know, depending on how much population you have, you're generating a couple thousand dollars into the organization. But those three organizations would be generating probably 80% of the total annual revenue. And to me, it's good that we have so many board members because you get a lot of feedback on people, but I think it also just misdirects the purpose and the control of the organization away from the entities that should be running it. So that's my opinion. I haven't talked to Chris about that.
I agree with that.
Too many cooks.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with. I was surprised when I found out how many board members there were on that. I was like, what? Just seems kind of, man, there's too many people, too many opinions, too many voices.
To be fair, we did sort of ask for it because they were at 15 to 20.
No, the original board composition when I came on was 30.
Yeah.
And through some negotiations and rewriting the bylaws, we were able to get it down to 25. Five of those are fluff positions. So there are truly 20 positions, one municipal rep for every organization that could pay into it. So every member has a place on board, and then every municipality that has a hotel has a position. Not every municipality has one. So those are up for appointment by the board. So it basically gives every municipality two active votes, if they so chose. And then the other five are appointed directly by the chairman. So what it did is it actually gave equal control to all the municipalities, which made sense because before there were 10 municipalities that each had a vote, and then the other 20 were appointed by the chairman. So the control was very lopsided. I would like to see the board, you know, no more than 12 for the size of what the organization is. 12 is still large, I think, but getting it down, they don't like to relinquish control. Aurora would have some issues with that, but it's beneficial. Going back to the Oswego conversation, if you read the paper, the article, that meeting did not go well. It was, Oswego did beat them up quite a bit. There were a couple trustees that were very rough on them. However, when it got back to the CVB board, it was a very good meeting, very well received, and we're going to continue negotiations. So there were two sides to this, and they were very black and white. So as I've been going through, we just had a committee meeting that was strategic planning, and a lot of these big issues did come up. Very little has happened in the past several months. Obviously, it's making a 180-degree turn is very hard. As Bart alluded, tracking information has always been a challenge. And that was one thing in strategic planning. We have to have definitive tracking numbers. And then the numbers they threw out there as to what the economic impact are, they're very fluffy. There's an average of how much an individual will spend on a day trip versus an overnight trip, and you take that number and multiply it by the potential rooms, and it can easily become $1 million off of an event. It's very hard to have a defined number. You know how many rooms you have booked. You know how many are. You should know how many are booked through the organization. That we don't know. We don't know how many rooms were booked based on our marketing and our advertising, how much actually came in and was booked through that. The hotels don't track that. So it's been very difficult. At this point, I'm willing to make a recommendation to go out for an RFP, solicit firms to see if somebody has the qualifications. Not an RFP, an RFQ. Solicit for qualifications of someone that can actually provide municipal services to a few, to a service area for tourism. Put it out there, because I do not like the idea of trying to bring in someone that's their sole responsibility is a municipal employee of Yorkville, Oswego, or Montgomery, or a collective employee. I think that doesn't serve the best for us. If we take our 90%, Oswego's 90%, you put that together, that's a pretty good pot that you could have a firm do marketing for you. I think that's the best bang for our buck, is have someone that has multiple staff members that can actually do marketing and tourism with their resources, and then we have full control over it, what we want them to do.
So we would include Montgomery, but they wouldn't contribute anything.
Well, my thought is if Montgomery were to come in, they would have to contribute. And whether it's on a per capita price, you know what, our agreement doesn't have to be the 90% of our tax revenue. It could be 100% of your tax plus 1 cent per person in the community. You know, you can create whatever structure you want, but we could come up with a fair way for Montgomery, since they have no hotels, find a way to rationalize a payment for them. I don't think that would be unreasonable.
But they could join, they could be in the Aurora, the organization, and not contribute anything and get whatever they want. Why would they come on with us? That doesn't even make sense.
We're cool.
Well, I know, but I mean, just think about it. They can get those services.
If their board were to look at what are they getting right now, if they actually, looked at what services are being provided to them through the CVB, they're not contributing anything financially at all. So is there a benefit for the rest of the CVB board to actually incentivize Montgomery?
No.
No. I mean, plain and simple, there's nothing that the board should do, because they're doing is using their population for a few thousand dollars.
Well,
I mean, Big Rock, they contribute, what was it?
$74.
$74. Yes. Woo-hoo. Their one event they have, it gets advertised. They get a big bang for their buck for those $74.
But, so, you know, sometimes we have meetings and tax abatements are like that, and we don't even talk about them. And then we get to, flavors of ice cream, and it's a 45-minute date. And you wonder, we don't talk about the stuff that costs, $8 million. We spend an awful long effing time on $65,000.
Agreed.
You've spent an inordinate amount of time digesting this from every angle. Should we go independent? Should we stay with the organization? What are the benefits of going independent? What are the benefits of staying with the organization? We need to have more results from the organization that we currently have. They don't have a director. They need a director for the organization that we already have. All of these things, we still don't have active metrics that make any sense to anybody. The term leads is the most ambiguous word on the freaking planet. There's 80 people at the table. Like, Chris sent me pictures from these meetings, and there's 1,000 people, and they spend however many dollars on their board meetings, over $60,000. Granted, yes, we don't get as much of a bang for our buck because it's a larger organization. But there's the benefit of, the buying power of having, the 10 or however many municipalities involved in the organization versus only having 3. There's a good reason to be with the AACVB because we're under the Aurora umbrella, and Aurora is the second largest city in the freaking state, so obviously they have more of a spotlight on them because of how large they are. But we're spending all this time, should we go independent, whereas it would probably make more sense just to kind of find out a way to take ownership of the organization that we're already a part of and understand that, yes, some of these tiny towns that don't have hotels are reaping benefits that we are allowing them. But aren't we all kind of fighting the same battle if we want to bring money to our little armpit of Illinois? So it seems to me that we're spending all this time and a boatload of money figuring out what's the better move, when maybe it's maybe we don't have to worry about starting a separate organization. Maybe it's trying to utilize and make more efficient the current organization we already have, and making court not just responsible, but find a way to answer the questions that we've been asking. Whether it's an RFQ to figure it out, but still, an RFQ on money that we only spend 60 grand a year on, it just seems like we're spending a lot of time and energy on 60 grand. When we could be just continually looking like this at court and getting answers and asking them, dude, trim your fat. You don't need 80 people at a freaking board meeting, because 80 people with a yes or no question are going to all give you more than just a yes or no answer. So it seems like we're making a mountain. I hate saying it, my dad was right. We're making a mountain out of a molehill. Just give them the money. Go, God, I really wish we had more exposure on this. Say, hey, court, we want more exposure on this. Well, you know, I got to be fair. No, you don't. I've got the money. And leave it at that. As opposed to, holy crap, how much money have we spent on? Maybe we go independent when maybe going independent is just a shot in the foot anyway. So in my opinion, right now, it seems like we keep beating it up. It's the ice cream flavor conversation. It's not the taxes conversation, because the taxes conversation might not be all that complicated, but it's huge. This is still $60,000. We've spent more than 60 talking about 60. Let's stop talking about 60. Pay it, and you keep doing what you're doing. Look, give them that look. Like, come on, bro. The come on, bro look has to be your job there, because you need to keep those people on Yorkville pumping us up. We gotta stop talking about going independent, because we gotta hire someone and hopefully pay them 52 grand a year. But it's only 60 grand! But
Joel, if I could. So, the problem with saying we need more exposure here, Aurora has 10 votes right now because of their independently set contract that was negotiated between the chairman, the director, and Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
They have half of the board.
Yeah.
Okay? Those board members that are on there do not have a financial stake in the organization or a municipality other than their actual employment. If you look at the composition of the board, if they work for the Aurora Chamber of Commerce or they work for other organizations that are benefited directly by the city of Aurora, where do you think they're going to vote? Are they going to put their money?
But who's to say that the votes for Aurora would be bad for Yorkville? There's only four hotels here, so it's like, what's the...
Aurora's a DMO. We are not. We are not a destination market. Okay? Plain and simple. The only thing that we have in that aspect is our kayak. The Whitewater Rapids. That's the only thing that we have that makes us a regional tourism item. But there's nothing else that goes along with that. Aurora actually has marketable items that they can bring people out for 2, 3, 4, or 5 days
mm-hmm.
and keep them there, whether it is for the shopping at the outlet mall or if it is
Paramount.
Their downtown Paramount and a few others. They have large-scale opportunities as well as sporting opportunities and
music.
Large organizations. They do
and they're coming
music.
There, and then they look in the book and they're like, oh, there's a water park. Let's take the kids to the water park in Yorkville for the day. I agree with Joel 100%.
I am up to hear with this conversation. They don't do that as often as you would think. If they're coming down for the Paramount or for a concert, their trip typically doesn't include our water park. If they're coming to the water park, they might do a couple of things.
How do you know? Is there a metric on that?
There's not a solid one, but
okay, then.
It's in terms
so how do you
of how
really
they're
being
know? Booked and the questions.
All right, so if there isn't a way to measure something, and we want it measured, but there's no way to measure it, does it freaking matter if you can't?
Exactly.
If we want it? Because it doesn't exist. We can keep saying, man, I really wish there was a way that you could tabulate if their interest in this water park is at an 8, but if they were driving south and they wanted to go to the outlet mall, maybe they'll stop in Yorkville for a donut. We're making something that's so arbitrary and random in the first place. We're trying to make a metric around it. You can't measure the amount, you can't measure the amount of sweat off of the left side of a bull if it's 95 degrees on a Thursday. I know you want to. I understand that your investment in buffalo sweat is very high, but we're talking about super specifics that just don't exist. So I think going forward, from my perspective, we pay the money. We try to make it a lot more efficient than it currently is.
I agree.
We think that court has the experience.
I think the problem is, Joel, and I've been here longer than all of you.
Yeah.
And as clerk, I heard this, and this has been going on, I've been here 14, 15 years. This is the same conversation. They are not going to change. He's not going to change. He's right. There's too many of them.
Many.
We're the ugly stepsister, and they don't care.
Right.
So that's my problem, is we're paying this money, and we're not getting anything
right.
for it.
But
what
if,
can
but
we
if
get
you pay the money elsewhere, like if you pay it yourself, number one, if we went this way, we don't have Aurora. Aurora's kind of a good umbrella to be under, even though, yes, we might be
slighted. But they're benefiting from it, and there's times, like you've even said, we've had Fest.
And they're incorrectly...
They're not even doing a good job. But how do you... I don't know if this is what... This is the third director since I've been here, because we had Sue Voss forever. Mm-hmm. I just think they use our money, and we can't even ride on their coattails. They don't care. Right. They're pushing us off.
No, because what really upset the apple cart is when we did make the change to the bylaws, and then we actually had an equal share, and then it came time for renewal. That's when Aurora said, you know, we're going to take our money, we're going to put it towards our River Edge Park.
Right.
We're going to take our big chunk of it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to just match what everybody else puts in. Cap it at $175,000. Oh, and by the way, we want 10 board members and we want control of the executive committee.
Okay.
That's what they did. After the bylaws were changed, after everything was in place and starting to function under a new director, Aurora said, you know, director's got to go. I'll be very candid here. The director did not go because of the CVB. The director went because of the city of Aurora. They didn't like the way that he was actually placating to the other smaller municipalities. That upset Aurora. Aurora got upset. Aurora, we're the big boy. We're going to pull our money. We're going to pull the board. And we're going to make it happen. Otherwise, we leave. That's exactly what it was. How often should the CVB have an emergency board meeting? We actually had an emergency board meeting in the middle of the week because Aurora was playing... big pissy little idiot.
Right. Take your ball and go.
Okay.
Okay. So if that's the case,
that's
and
the
like,
bad
like, and I understand it. But even though you have that drama, it's still the end result, right? So it doesn't matter how we get to here; we're still going to get to here. Right. So if we get to there by allowing an organization to do it, that's one thing. But we're talking about starting an organization from the ground up, using only three entities, one of which has no money to put in right now. So. And then we wouldn't get the matching funds if we went independent for, is it 3 years or 2 years?
Never.
Never. So I understand wanting to cough your nose to swipe your face. I also understand the too many cooks. I also understand that Aurora's going to lead the charge no matter what, and Aurora's going to reap the biggest benefit. It's still, to me, it's just $60,000.
Well, no, but it's something else.
You know what I mean?
It's $120,000. It's $130,000 if we're each at $65,000.
No,
it's $120,000.
Oh, it's matched. So it'll be...
No.
Not for us.
We have $60,000. Oswego has $60,000. Big number, $120,000. That's what we would be able to put in towards this to market to two communities.
And let's be honest. Let's call spade a spade. What does Oswego and I have, or your crowd have, that brings people here? Yes, we have a water park. Why would you go to Oswego? I don't know.
Awesome.
What's tourism in that? What's it on?
Yeah, you're right.
We're also quibbling over money. That what do we? I mean, we
but,
have
but
limited
that's
things.
Way to go.
So do we need a big organization for the little things we have?
Right. But if you think about what Oswego would bring, they bring sports facilities that we don't have. They have the Oswego Lynn Park District, which has marketable sporting events that we could go after. We have three baseball field complex. We don't have a large soccer complex that's built out to accommodate sporting events yet. So if we were to partner, that would be the asset that we would be able to use, because the Oswego Lynn Park District goes under the umbrella of Oswego in that aspect, because it's under their jurisdiction.
But what about Montgomery and the FEPD? They got Stewart, but that's considered Aurora's, right, because of the FB.
Because of the Fox Valley Park District, right. And that is a tricky one, because it's under their municipal limits. They can utilize that. I don't know how that one would work.
What if we don't even count Montgomery?
Yeah.
What can we give for this money?
Keep them out.
For the sake of money, and they don't have anything either. But, I mean,
but
they're adorable, and they belong
in the organization.
I mean, what we have is... it's still small.
Right.
So why are we tying into a big organization that doesn't care? Maybe we could take the money and somehow market the things we do have here. Market the hotels with the, you know, the water park.
That's what Court is saying now, is that the marketing for tourism aspect of it is not worthwhile, in his opinion. So that's why he's trying to focus on actual hotel sales, whether it's family reunions or sporting
the
events.
Actual events, because, as I said, we're not a DMO. We are not a destination.
Right.
What's the
destination marketing opportunity?
Okay. Yes, we're taking a family vacation. Right. Let's go to Yorkville.
Right,
right.
And so they're putting us down, but we don't commit. We don't have a Paramount Theater. We don't have a casino. We don't have these things.
Okay, well. I agree with Joel a lot on this because I think we've been spending an awful lot of time on this, and it's really frustrating because who's to say that maybe some destinations would come here that if we get out of this organization, maybe they're going to be like, oh, forget it. They are not even belonging to a convention center. So forget that, or, you know, the tourism.
I guess we'd have to know what do we get.
Well, I don't know. We got the water park. Have we, again, had the destinations that we do have and the hotels come into the city council and tell us whether they want this or not? They're the ones that generate the taxes.
Well, it's not even whether they want it, but what are they pulling in?
Well, they obviously are pulling in something because they've been in favor of it since this began. All the organizations that are affected by this bureau have been in here saying they want it. They're the ones that bring in the money for us to pay. So that should be a no-brainer right there. And we've been fighting about this for 2 years now, maybe longer. I don't know. I've heard about it. And it's really frustrating because the money isn't even generated because of anything that the city does. The money's generated because we have these hotels here and we have a water park and we have different things. And they're the ones saying we want to be. So why don't we ask them again? Are you sure this is what you want? Do you feel like you're getting a benefit?
But maybe there's something we can propose that's better that would keep it or maybe even do better for them on a smaller scale.
Well, I don't know that. You'll have to talk to them. Why don't we talk to the people who are generating the
sales and corporate sales person that we hire between the three cities?
Right.
All of us pay their salary, and that's what we do. It's not tourism. It's just group sales on getting our hotels filled.
Right.
But wouldn't that be a function that's served by the business itself?
It's almost like me too. It's up to them.
It's almost like me having an organization that finds me prescriptions. Like that.
Yeah.
It seems very not counterintuitive, but it seems almost like we are using the money to get them sales, to get us more money, to get them more sales.
And they should have their own marketing.
And it's
well, I'm sure they do.
I'm not saying I don't want their tax dollars, but what if that tax dollars went to fix roads?
Because we don't have to use that money.
You gotta change that law.
We don't have to actually try to market to them to get group sales. That's one thing they're doing. We can't actually quantify that. That's very hard for us to quantify those group sales. We can market Yorkville as a whole. It doesn't have to specifically say we're going to market the hotels and say, okay, this hotel has 100 rooms and has 5,000 square feet of community space. We don't have to market that way. We can market whatever we want with it, whether it's
to like baseball groups,
water park, or
well, I'm pretty certain that they do that.
Well, to an extent. There has been a major change in what they're trying to market now. They're not marketing as much to the riverfront for us or to our water park. They are trying to go after the group sales, which is a quantifiable item for them. Because they have business associations that they're in, they're trying to focus on a specific item, which is group sales. So they've backed off of some of the others because they need to be able to find something that they can easily quantify.
Basically, they're doing what the hotel should be doing.
Right. They're
assisting them.
But they're using the tax money to do it. So it's almost like the hotels don't have to use their personal finances to pay for this, which is, I mean, it's good that their tax money is going to benefit them directly is what it is.
But how could you get it, like, to me, okay, so we got the downtown in that. That you get in, have they tried? Well, how do we get in with the kayak place? Come kayak for a weekend and stay, you know, at the Hampton. But they're not doing that on our basis. They're doing it little package deals for there. So that's not, our money is not benefiting, I feel, the money we put in does not benefit our community.
But I know that the Sandwich Hotel, they directly contacted the water park to do a deal with them. That's not what this organization is about, is to make little package deals so a family can come.
What are they supposed to be doing then?
They're supposed to get in groups here.
No, that's what the organization
does. I mean,
does
technically,
do
what's bare bones? What should they be doing? Putting out a magazine and out
don't
to...
Say don't say the HIV acronym. I swear if you say HIV, I will...
Go ahead and say
him.
Heads and beds.
Freaking word. That
I'm on ordinance.
It's immunization.
That is truly what they are charged with doing heads and beds and promoting tourism and
so the money that they
get but tourism
the tax
necessarily
dollars,
isn't getting in booking deals. It's,
exactly.
it's promoting what you have.
Exactly.
Like the Paramount or
that's what it's
well,
just like.
It
exactly.
Let's talk about something else.
Thank you.
It's the visitors we'll and sewage. Convention Bureau.
Okay.
If you look
that's
at what
our next
mean,
agenda
is,
item.
Tourism's not in there. It's visitors and convention bureau. What are they doing? Conventions, so meetings, that kind of things. And then visitors. What are visitors doing? Spending the night. That's the objective, is get visitors to spend the night. That's the sole way that Illinois makes money and the CDB
well,
makes money.
And we can forget about
why
it.
Don't
if
we just stop
on.
Collecting a tax in Illinois and let the hotels do their own? Why should government be involved
well,
in this?
This is true.
ACBB, sleepovers.
Right.
That's all it is. We want to have sleepovers.
So we'll bring this back again next month.
Oh, no!
Okay. Can I bring this back around to what the reason, I mean, we've been looking at this. The objective was to have at the six-month point of the year, at the midpoint of the year, to have something in place as a plan B so that we have 6 months to either implement or say we're going to continue with the CVB. So by the time the middle of the year comes by, we wanted to have something. Right now, we have no alternative other than staying with the CVB.
Right.
This is why I recommend we send out for an RFQ. We create an RFQ that has a request for a qualifications of somebody that can provide us marketing.
We
assistance.
Don't even know what's out there.
Right.
So that would be
this
a
would
week.
Be something that a staff
okay, so
brought.
That actually
that
makes sense. Find out if we could hire someone between the three municipalities, and I'm going to say three because Montgomery actually has.
And that would be sensible.
So the three of us would pay their salary, and all they do is the thing that we told AACBB to do when we said, we don't want to pay you anymore. So and then that way, all that person does is gets the H's and the B's, and we have sleepovers. But then we focus only on the events that we do.
Right.
Because here's
without, and can we please, like, just
Indians.
Stop?
No, because if this doesn't get done, if we don't have something that is either an alternative or we have a solid commitment that says, yes, this is a great organization, I'm going to be very upset with our council as a whole because right. this has been years of back and forth bickering about something that is piddly small. And we said we want to have something in the middle of the year so that we can actually have a plan B or go with it. Okay. And if we don't actually do what we said,
we're not moving to plan B.
And we're going
to
get input from our hotel people, too. We're not
well,
just going
to
make
say. Is
this
there,
decision.
Is there a way to contact or ask them to come in? Can they quantitatively tell us what they get from that organization? And maybe they can't.
Sleep.
The water park and the hotels.
Water park doesn't generate for it, so.
No.
It
they're
just
something.
But I think we should hear from the water park.
Well,
the water park likes that organization.
Obviously, they get free marketing out of it because that's what our objective is try to market it.
Okay,
the ones
so just
that are generating
just do the hotels.
Yeah, since they're the ones that are truly generating that tax.
Yeah, maybe we should listen to them.
Like, I want them to say, hey, court called me. I had a lead for a da-da-da-da family reunion. Do they get that? We don't know that.
In addition to that, I think the RFQ makes sense. Like, is it possible to have someone? And then also, is it legal to have someone? Would they be considered a consultant since they would be hired by multiple entities?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. That's been done. We've done it with foresters or whatever. I mean, so
yep.
That's doable.
Yep.
So find out what Oswego would pitch in, then find out if that role in itself is worth more than what we're willing to put in. And then also, that person needs a budget to work with. So it's like, if it is $120 a year, I don't want to pay the person $95 and only have $25,000 to play with. Like, is it feasible to have one person do that just for the three communities and have a budget for that person to spend?
Years ago, Jason Pasola came in. What was his plan?
Facebook. He was going to do Facebook.
Yeah, basically social media marketing, redo the website. He was going to do destination marketing, which...
I mean, we're not looking... The RFP would not be to hire an individual, necessarily. It'd be to find...
It might be a company. Yeah.
...that have the ability. Not somebody that, I have to make $50,000 or $60,000 a year, and then there's no money to be spent on it. The intent is to bring a firm in that can spend $120,000 collectively between two municipalities on the marketing. Yes, it goes to their staff, but it also goes to the time, so...
Do we know of any other communities that use outside firms offhand? Have you,
I don't.
You investigated
I do.
This?
Not off the top of my head. I know there are some that they don't. They are in the position where they don't have in-house and they do not fall into a certified visitors tourism bureau.
Okay, so we're going to do an RFQ. Somebody's going to write up the parameters, and we're going to talk about it next time. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, and then I'll also commit that we'll have some sort of outline as to what an in-house between the three municipalities.
And can we reach out to the hotels and have them give us some information?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's good with that?
Yes.
Okay, we'll have it next month. Okay, let's just end this meeting with admin 2015-71, Yorkville Bristol Sanitary District Consolidation. Bart's got news.
Both the president and the executive director did let me know that they are not considering consolidation with Fox Metro anymore, and that they will be replacing Kevin. So I think Kevin's original timeline was December that he was going to retire. That's now been pushed back to May of 2017, so that's not posted for it yet. So things can always change, but they verbally told me that the consolidation is off the table.
So they do not want to consolidate
with
us.
I'm
I think we could make a persuasive case, but my guess is they probably don't want to.
No. Bart, do you know how to run a poo plant?
No, but I would hire somebody else that does.
Good answer.
I mean, with that consolidation, if they were to consolidate with us, we would have a cost savings, but it would not be major.
No, definitely not.
Right, and then it would have had a whole other end of liability.
We're not talking millions. We're talking, I mean, we'd roll that in and...
Yeah, they're doing a good job. They get somebody in.
I think what we were talking about was, you know, the cost savings of what we expend administratively. So
yeah.
$100,000.
Yep.
It's not...
$100,000, and then, of course, we pay $130,000 to get rid of our biosolids or something like that.
Yes. So yeah. It's a net loss.
Yeah. No.
Crappy.
Okay. Okay, any additional business? Okay.
City of Yorkville.
Meeting adjourned at 6:51.
Get the captain in.